Hi, and welcome to the Just Riding Along show.
Hello, and Jesus, I can't even speak today. Hello, episode 161. We're here. Christ. Andrea's not, and I don't know what to do with myself. No, in all seriousness, I've been talking a lot the last few days for work, and I'm getting to the point where my mouth isn't working right, and it's really annoying. So, yeah, that's where I'm at. What's new with you, Kenny? Or wait, no, am I supposed to just start talking about what I've been doing? I don't even know how to do podcasts anymore.
I'll go. Nothing new crazy with me. I rode some moto with some people from the shop. Everyone had a good time. I think that's really all that's new with me. I don't have any cool bicycle stuff.
All right. Yeah, that was quick for sure. I did ride my bicycle, but I'll go in chronological order, which is I painted my shed finally. And then, and that's not a euphemism, I actually painted a shed. And then I went and did a moto ride, which was a ton of fun. Just did some fire road exploring near me here. And then I went and... Days don't make sense anymore. Yeah, Saturday I painted the shed. Sunday I helped Andrea get ready to go hunt, and I rode my moto. And then Monday, I went and hung out with some friends in BV, and we did a real nice bike ride, and then helped them look at a car. They didn't buy it. And then I did another moto ride, and it was all just fire road stuff by myself, but it was still a ton of fun. And yeah, that's what I've been doing. Pretty short intro here. Oh, I didn't even come up with a zinger for episode 161. It doesn't matter. Nothing. It don't matter. Yeah, I guess let's talk about new stuff, Kenny.
First thing on my radar, this is going to seem unusual, I think, but the new Moonlander, new Surly Moonlander.
I'm down to talk about it. I don't have good things to say about it.
Have you seen what the new one is? Or you just don't like it because it's a Surly, or you don't like old Moonlanders, or what?
Is there an all-the-above option?
But do you... My question to you is, do you know the details of the new one?
I do.
Okay. And, well, I guess let's start with... Before I say what I like about it, what makes you cranky?
Let's start with what it is.
Okay. So...
You're the one that wanted to talk about
it. Yeah. So, we'll start with what it is. I don't know how long the Surly Moonlander's been going on. Probably a while. It's a fat bike. It's steel. It's made by Surly. That's all you really need to know. I'm sure it's been through a few iterations, but this particular one has gone down to a 24-inch rim underneath, but a 6.2 tire, so actually monstrous. I kind of like it. There's some other weird stuff, too. It's got a pinion gearbox that I don't know a whole lot about, and it has a like 1-to-1 drive ratio, which for some reason I really like. It looks insane. In fact, I think it's a 32-34. 32 front, 34 rear, maybe. But regardless.
I'm looking right now. It's 1-to-1. It's 34-34.
Okay, cool. I like where they're going with this. I personally think that I own a 26 fat bike with a 5-something inch tire, maybe a 5.2 or something. And I think the rollout on it is too big. It's just needlessly large. And I think you can take a lot of weight out if it just was a little bit smaller in diameter. But I do like the flotation of the fives, and I would probably take sixes. So it's going to depend on where you ride. If you're riding on groomed trails, you obviously don't need a 6.2. But where I ride, which is usually 50-50, I think the 6.2 could be really cool. A couple things I don't like about it on a very selfish level is it's going to be hard to put an electric motor on this. But I will figure out a way. That's really my only, that's the only downside. And of course, the pinion gearbox is probably unproven. So hopefully it doesn't suck. But I think derailleurs really shouldn't be on fat bikes. So if you can figure out a way to not have derailleurs on fat bikes, I think that's pretty cool. So I don't know. Overall, I'm liking the vibe. I know that's, it's going to seem weird, but it, I don't know. It's kind of cool. I like it.
Okay.
So what makes you sad?
Couple things. One, cost of tubes. Tubes are $50.
Oh, yeah. They got those plastic tubes, which is kind of cool. Some moto is experimenting with that, and it's kind of like a tubolito, basically, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't think you have to run plastic tubes though, right? Maybe. Is it the only size they make right now?
That is the only tube.
Mm. So I think they're $30 or $40 for a tube, which is expensive.
No, they're $50.
Yeah, you know, what you gonna do? And the tires are normal fat tire price, nothing crazy. I think they're like $100 or $140 a piece, which is super normal for a fat bike tire. I don't know.
I think they're $160.
No, there's no way. I'll pull up some stuff while we're chatting. But anyway, I don't know. Overall, I think it's kind of cool.
$150.
Yeah, see? It's totally fine. That's as much as like a Maxxis with no features. Okay, so what makes you cranky? Expensive tubes?
Expensive tubes. You have one tire option.
Yeah, but people said that about 29ers when they first came out. All you could get was a Python.
Yeah, but I'm happy to be wrong again. I just...
No, it's cool. Like, share your sadness with the world.
I just don't understand. I do understand it, but I don't understand it.
Is the fact that it's going to be very heavy, does that make you sad? Or is it the internal gearbox? Or you just don't think 6.2s are useful for most people?
I mean, it's just a lot of weirdness. Like, it's 197 front and rear, so you gotta, like, you can't even put your other fat bike wheels on here if you want to try them.
Well, you could, like, put your old worn out rear hub that's broken. You could probably just go buy, like, an i9 hub, for example, that's already broken, and you could put it on the front, and then you're good to go.
All right. Yeah, I guess. Whatever.
Yeah. We're going to recycle all those broken rear hubs.
Okay. But what about... It's definitely not a bike for me. That's the place to start. Okay. And when I look at it, I think another thing that really bums me out is it should be criminal for a $4,200 bike that has no suspension to come with Tektro brakes.
It's not cheap. I think I'm going to have to put a rear hub motor in it, which is makes me a little sad. But you got to do what you got to do.
Did you already order one?
No, but I probably will.
Okay.
But I've got a pretty expensive fat bike that's electric already. And I would probably get this and be like, oh, I don't actually need the 6.2s. But I want it for some reason.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I'm probably going to be a lot more excited to see the Moonlander 3.0. I think is a good way to put it.
Would you be more pumped if it was... Do you think 6.2 tires in a lighter chassis and maybe no pinion? Or is it like the whole package?
It's one of those, it's like when someone comes to you and says like, I want to make my bike light, and you're like, cool, but you got to change everything, you know?
Yeah.
And it's not just that I'm an Otso fanboy, but it is that it's just a surly. I mean,
I don't disagree with any of that. I mean, this is a shout out to Otso. Make a carbon/tie version of this that maybe isn't pinion drive.
Yeah, and if I can, I think my biggest complaint about this bike is, and I understand this isn't Surly's ethos, and I'm never going to change it, but at this price, the only thing about it that really makes me upset is two things. One is brakes. I understand nicer brakes would have cost more, so they couldn't do that, because then that would cost more. But with that said, it's 2024 and nothing that is ridden with a disc brake needs track ends on the dropout.
Okay. Oh, is that freaking QR or maybe like a little baby bolt-on?
It's their stupid not boost style where it has a through axle bolt.
It just says on the hubs through axle, but I don't actually know.
But there's no threads in the frame. It's a two-part through axle that threads into itself. So it has track ends in 12x197.
Well, it makes a little bit more sense because it's pinion drive, like single speed essentially, right? So you got to tension it. So I get that to a degree. Could they use a better system? 100%.
That's my problem is I don't care. Like track ends are fine for a true track bike or for a rim brake BMX bike or... for your old rim brake karate monkey, but when you're running disc brakes with the stopping power down there with the torque on the hub, you just need a swinging, sliding, some or another dropout. I don't care who you copy. I mean, and I'm not knocking on anyone, but like every swinging dropout kind of looks like every other one, you know. I am a fan of the Esker Portage dropout, which is very similar to the Salsa Alternator dropout, which is no, let's say, surprise because people from Salsa started Esker. So there you go. But yeah, that's really the thing about it, that like I can change the brakes. Like, let's say I order one of these tomorrow. I can change the brakes. I can put on fancier dropper post. I can probably find lighter crank arms for this. I can set it up tubeless because they're tubeless ready rims and tires. I can do all those things, but I cannot change the dropouts on the bike. And if this were $3,200, I would not be so frustrated that it has track hands. But I think they should have made it $4,500. And this been surly turning the corner and joining the 21st century.
Do you think that like 1,000 of these dollars are for the pinion drive? I truly don't know.
No, I don't know. What's that thing? I'm doing some Googling here. Let's see. What does this thing cost?
What is an average surly frame set that's steel? They're what? Like $600, right?
No, they retail for closer to 1,000.
Oof.
But a pinion is $1,000 at retail money. So you're right. Yeah, that's 1,000 of it.
Okay. Interesting choice. I mean,
but beyond that, it is, okay, let's do retail numbers here, and that's not how this works, but then that makes it a $3,200 rigid single speed in steel. That's pretty expensive.
It's still, yes, I agree. It's still expensive. I agree. I think you've made all really good points. The one cool thing about those open sliders is that I could just put a hub drive thing in there and like it will semi stay together, which is cool.
I'm just really struggling to figure out how a $2,500 or $2,600 Karate Monkey that has a fork, you know, we're still $600 off, ignoring the pinion.
I mean, wheels and tires are more expensive, but how much more really, right?
Well, that's where I'm going to be ugly. It's a surly rim and a surly tire, you know. So back to people being like, oh, Specialized is keeping all the money because they're making handlebars and tires and rims and cool. Like, that's fine. But yeah, I'm just kind of, I think it's a little overpriced. And the last thing that I have about the track ends is, you know, All City's going away. So I really believe that Salsa needs to make two versions of their flagship bikes. They need to make the original Karate Monkey, and they need to make like a Karate Monkey SL. And that needs to be a little bit nicer tubing with nice dropouts.
You know what I thought was pretty interesting is, I'm looking at this right now, I'm making sure I'm not crazy. There is no other fat bike. The ice cream truck, I guess, is close. Yeah, okay. So I guess the ice cream truck is a fat bike.
Isn't the Wednesday also?
So ice cream truck is a fat bike, and
so is the Wednesday.
They don't call it a fat bike, which is weird to me, because it's a fat bike. Don't call it a trail bike. I think that's dumb.
I think they, like, where they list it on their site, like you go to bikes and then you have to look for ice cream truck and Wednesday and Moonlander under trail.
And by the way, anything under 4-inch is not a fat bike. Sorry. It's just a bike. That will not work. Right. That will not work in the snow. Anywhere that a 4.0 works, a 2.0 works, in my opinion.
You're wrong. And I say that because I've ridden really, really fabulous groom stuff where a 4.0 would rip and a 3.0 wouldn't work.
Now, 4.0 fat bikes are dumb. Nobody should ride them.
That's fine. And if you want an extra large Otso, mine's for sale and it has 4.0 tires like God intended. So. No, in all seriousness, like I'm just, it's not bad. I mean, it's not as bad. Like, I know that I'm trying to not get all like pissy and just be a dickhead about it, but
no, I think you brought up some valid stuff. It's expensive.
Yeah.
Pinion drive is a question mark. Track ends, probably not the best idea. Yeah.
Also, it's 2024. Why do I only see one photo of your bike on your website? Like, why don't you have like a gallery that I can scroll? I don't need to see some dude riding it in sand. I want to like see it like, I want to be able to click through a gallery that shows me the bike from like 7 different angles. Yeah.
If you scroll down a little bit, there's one of the bike in the sand, and then there's a lady riding it down a hill in the sand. And then there is the same lady riding it on flat, and there's a beauty shot of the pinion drive. There's just a wheel in the sand in case when your wheels falls off, you know what it looks like.
Yeah, when it slips out of the track end, it'll just stand up
when
and
it slips
bend
out of
the
track end. This is what it's going to look like. There's some guy riding a ridge. Oh, nope, same lady riding a ridge, going down a rock, and then just the bike. We got like 8 pictures. It's pretty fancy.
Dude, that lady going down the rock, that tire ripple looks like a Mickey Thompson leaving the drag strip.
It does. Freaking sick.
Yeah. So you know it's fast.
Dragsters are fast. They go like 300 miles an hour. Think about how fast you're going to go on your bicycle.
Okay. Well, yeah.
So that's the moon lander.
Terrible.
Let's talk about other things. I've got another one. You want me to just keep going?
I
want to
finish. Let me finish on a positive note. I really like the chainstay length. Okay. Chainstay is long. It's 562.
Excellent.
So it's going to be really, like, they built this to be stable and reliable, and I think they've done that. One thing they've been really careful to not show in any of the pictures is what the rear hub, or what the front hub that's acting as a rear hub, whatever. I want to figure out if they did you a solid and made it where the rear hub or the front hub can accept like a track cog, so you could set it up single speed in a pinch.
But you always have the pinion, so I don't think you could ever make it single speed.
No, I mean, fixed gear is what I mean. Because like on the old like Moonlander and stuff, they had this crazy front hub offset. Or front and rear hub offset, because they were using 10 by 135.
I'm trying to find the drive side of this front hub. Here we go. I can't see. Can I zoom in?
Nope.
It kind of looks like it might just be a rear hub that just sits on there, I think.
That would be fine, but tell me that's what it is.
Yeah, that's definitely some extra weight. That's like a couple hundred grams just sitting there, which I guess I know Surly's about redundancy. I know they like to, you know, weld spokes to their rear triangle as spares and stuff, but okay, that's all good points. Are we done with the Moonlander?
Yeah, we can move on.
All right, I have industry news stuff. Delta, the maker of the steer tube extender, which we've all grown to love, is recalling some more products. So maybe some people at Delta that do QC and product testing should maybe pay more attention. That's all. So if you have a Delta ceiling hoist, it might fall out of the ceiling. Oops.
Where'd you see that?
On Bicycle Retailer.
How many units are recalled?
25,000.
And the crazy part about that is there's so many of those that are now holding up like canoes. And
yes,
they were left in a house that someone bought. And
25,000 in the U.S., 3,400 in Canada. And I assume in other parts of the world that they don't care about.
Yeah, they don't care.
Oops.
Yep.
And well, those are my first two. What do you have?
I want to talk about that new ProCow.
Oh, yeah. I don't know much about it. I'm not a Trek dealer anymore.
Oh, yeah. They just made a new ProCow that doesn't have ISO speed, but still has ISO speed. So they made it lighter, but it's still heavy.
So let's talk about weights and such. So it's a carbon hardtail with a little bit of extra fanciness going on in the C-tube area, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So in your eyes, with a, let's call it not the absolute balls to the wall build, so not full XX1, but no goofy extra light, you know, German weirdo one-piece bar stems and stuff, and not the full-blown XX1 whatever setup, but if you did a $6,000 to $8,000 build on this bike, how much do you think something like that should weigh?
It should weigh whatever an Epic hardtail weighs.
Okay. Because in my brain, it should weigh 20, 21 pounds.
Yeah. So the Axis.
Is that kind of what you're thinking?
It should be 21 pounds. Yeah. The Axis bike weighs 23 pounds. The only one they're going to sell in the U.S. weighs 26.75, and another one weighs 24.43.
What?
Well, it has an 1,150 gram frame weight.
Okay, I'm trying to put that into perspective. I just don't remember in grams. I think
Epic Hardtail is 790 grams.
Yeah, yeah. That's interesting.
So, and my buddy had a scalpel hardtail frame that weighed 1,000 grams.
So do you think you even bother anymore? If it's a hardtail, do you think the little bit of extra compliance you get from fancy things, do you think it's even worth it? Because I'm kind of thinking maybe it's just not worth it. Maybe a hardtail should just be a hardtail and cheap. And
simple.
If you want suspension, then go buy a full suspension bike, even if it's short travel.
I think so.
That's what I'm feeling.
Because where I would want this bike, I would want it to be light, you know?
I'm going to say a thing. The only place that I see this being beneficial is if you're basically going to use this as a gravel bike, in my opinion.
But you're already running such a big tire that if you need more compliance in the saddle, you just need an Epic World Cup.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm just being salty. I don't know.
So this is basic. The takeaway is an Epic World Cup is lighter than this bike.
Let's figure it out, because I was talking about Epic hardtails. Let's see.
Because I think an Epic World Cup is about parity with this, if not lighter. Now, granted, we should probably, you know, do like-for-like builds and price similarly, to be fair.
1,765 grams with shock and hardware for an Epic Epic World Cup.
Okay, so it's a tiny bit heavier.
But I would take
but
that
maybe it's
weight.
Just their choice of build kits.
No, I mean, we're talking about frame weights. Like,
I know. I'm just saying as a whole package, maybe the reason these are... So the nicest one they make is a 9.6, it appears?
7.
Oh, why do I not see that?
Because they don't sell it in the U.S.
Oh. Yeah, because that 9.6... Also, I have so many questions.
Go for it.
This is a fairly advanced frame. And I know expensive hardtails are not that popular anymore. So I guess it also comes back to, why are you even building this in the first place? But a bike like this, $3,000, and you have like a gold level fork on it, I don't love the choices.
I'd rather have a chisel.
Yeah.
I mean, if you told me today, go spend $3,100 at retail, I would buy that fancy chisel and a pair of control carbon wheels and sell the aluminum wheels and barely spend more.
Yeah, it's not wrong.
So, I'm a dickhead, but Trek, another swing and a miss. Any other thoughts on the Pro Cow?
No. I mean, I'm glad that they're going away from the more complex ISO speed stuff, because they were problematic. The amount of bikes we had that came in that were creaky and had all kinds of weird issues, I'm glad to see that go away. But... and again, I don't want to be super mean. I'm super glad that Trek exists. I'm glad that Trek is around. Trek has built a lot of good things in the past, and they've been pioneers on a lot of things. But can you think of a bike? What's the last compelling bike that Trek built?
Probably the original Top Fuel.
Okay, that's kind of what I was thinking.
Because, you know, that bike was alloy wheels, essentially like a GX build, I think. It was called... Was it X1 when it was in 11-speed?
Possibly. But what year do you think that was?
I had one in 2016.
Okay. So I think it's been a solid 6-plus years.
Well, that would be 8 years ago.
Yeah. It's just been a while since they've come out with anything that I would actually want. Again, don't want to be mean. But yeah, and maybe one of their more comfort road bikes would be like okay. But again, I don't want the one with ISO speed because I don't want to dick with it. So you get a good but average endurance road bike. I just kind of bums me out. So hopefully they can...
Yeah, but for me, I'd rather have a Caledonia than a... Domane. I mean, I get it. The geometry is not quite as relaxed, but I don't really want...
Well, yeah, me too. I'm just saying, I'm thinking about right now in Trek's lineup, what do they make that's decent? And I think maybe one of the endurance road bikes would be the only thing that I could recommend to somebody. And also, from a pure retailer standpoint, the whole Marlin series is great. It's a good price point. don't have a lot of problems with them. They're very basic, but people buy them and they're good. But the enthusiast segment, I don't see it. There's nothing that I really want from them.
Yeah, they're not doing it. That's the problem, is we are enthusiasts and their bikes are just okay.
Yep.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's just a bummer because, you know, if you go back, like 2013 Fuel EX was like pretty neat. It was like a downcountry. It was essentially an Epic Evo 8 for 2013. You know, so they used to have some stuff that was like really, really like, I don't know how else to put it. It was just there. You're like, cool, look at this thing. It's pretty neat. And now it's just not the case. So.
And the amount of problems we've had with their e-bikes, we still have a bunch of them that are broken that we own, probably 6 or 8. And we had to buy back a lot of bikes from customers that were problematic. The batteries would just disconnect and fall out. No fixes in sight. Bosch couldn't help us. Trek couldn't help us. And you have really pissed off customers. We probably had 10 of those. And we just had to give people Levos. Not great for business.
You should sell those on eBay as is, list their problems, and just make them go away.
Yeah, we should.
Just $2,000. Bye.
I don't even think they're worth that is the problem.
Yeah, but the person...
But, you know, somebody is enterprising and wants to part it out or thinks they can fix it or whatever. So I get it. Maybe that's probably what we should do.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem with eBay is the amount of power a consumer has now. Not that we're trying to get over on someone. We can tell someone, like, look, this is as-is parts bike. And someone's still going to be like, oh, there's a, you know, there's a nick in the paint.
No, I
whatever,
get it.
Garbage. I know that you probably have to deal with that, but I don't know. It just bums me out that people can't take any responsibility for this shit that they buy at insanely good deals.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Next up. So that covers the new Pro Caliber.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there's something else we didn't get to talk about last week, and I'm looking for it right now, and I can't find it.
There was definitely one or two new things that we missed.
I'm going back in time. I'm looking. There's so much dead air. Okay, I finally found the ISO speed chronologically looking back through news. It's weird out there right now.
Well, do we have any listener questions?
Give me a second. I'm still looking for what we didn't talk about because it's driving me bonkers. This will all be edited out and people will think that I said there was a lot of dead air when there was like 10 seconds. Oh, Patent Patrol. SRAM shows patent for two-piston brake caliper with non-circular pistons.
I did see that.
So two giant-ass pistons instead of four little baby pistons. What do you think of that, Kenny?
I guess it could work. I don't want to say that it's not doable.
But that's not what cars do.
If there was a benefit, I don't want to just... I feel like this is a cop-out answer. But if they haven't done it in motorsports, then it probably doesn't work.
All right. Well, okay.
It's all I got. So I think that covers news.
Well, it could also be a situation where, and I'm doing a quick look here. It could be a situation where they filed a patent so no one else can do it.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, someone just like did a big line of coke and they were like, yeah, dude, oval pistons. And they're like, shit, let's file a patent for that.
I'd be interested to know in the patent world, because I'm sure that's obviously a thing that people try to do, is they just come up with everything in the world and you try to patent everything in the world, but you have no intention of making it, or it's just impossible to make and they do it just to have the patent. I know the patents run out, but I wonder if there is a different time limit if there's no production of a product. So maybe someone can chime in that knows patent law.
All right. Let's see. Looking through quick listener questions, what we had is someone says, a kid told me they impacted all the bolts on his carbon bike so they wouldn't come undone. That's not a question.
I don't know what that even means.
This dude ugga-dugga'd all the bolts on his bike, which I kind of have a problem believing that because if he actually ugga-dugga'd them, they would have just snapped off.
Yeah.
Troy got one of those giant DeWalt cordless impacts, and I think that thing is louder than my vacuum cleaner. Like, it's like, and I think you could build a train with it. It's pretty nuts. So
very cool.
And the only other question is, can chickens get drunk? And I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I would assume yes. If you have a mouth or an anus, you can get drunk.
So there we go. Birds can get drunk, probably. Yeah, because you can butt chug something.
That is correct.
Should this episode just be called butt chug?
We have discussed butt chugging pretty extensively on this show in the past.
Yeah, never done it. Don't need to do it. Not going to put coffee or beer or anything into my anus. Just no need for
it. What a party pooper.
Yeah, you know. Got to draw the line somewhere. And it's about there. Let's see. I feel like we missed something that I wanted to talk about, and it's still making me really frustrated. Not like it matters. Kenny, do y'all sell any boutique brands?
We do. It kind of depends on what you describe as boutique.
Well, niche.
So on the top of, off the top of my head, ones that I would consider boutique or niche, we do Santa Cruz, Cervelo, BMC, Seven, and I feel like I'm missing something. We do a few Envies. I think that's it. There might be one I'm forgetting.
Got it. Have you sold many Envies yet?
No.
They're kind of weird, huh?
I don't know if they're that weird. I think they seem okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Do you think that much like the mountain bike world is starting to see more and more, let's call them simple bikes, you know, steel and alloy is sort of making a comeback. Do you think that in 5 to 10 years time, we're going to see a comeback to like simple road bikes with like regular stems, not super integrated, all that stuff?
I think it would be cool personally. It's just amazing how many people are vain and want just, they want that bougie stuff. They want that super slick look, but I just want something that works and something that is light and reliable and easy to use. And I don't really care what it looks like. I don't want it to be intentionally ugly, but I don't care if you can see a cable on my bike or if you can see my stem bolts. That is just not important to me.
So
my brain doesn't comprehend what other people really like. And I get it. I get it that if you looked at a picture of the two bikes, that the uninitiated might pick the one that looks slicker. But I just know too much and I don't ever want to fucking own that or work on it. So it makes me angry and it makes me want to not own it.
Okay.
Because not only is it more expensive, but it's a pain in the ass.
Yeah. I mean, so like right now you've got to buy a road bike or a gravel bike. I'm assuming you would get something like a Crux or an Athos. Just threads.
Yeah, regular exactly. Stuff. I want something simple. Exactly. Like an Athos would be pretty high up on my list if I was going to buy an analog road bike, except geometry wise, it's just not for me anymore.
I mean, I get that, so, but that's what you would want.
That's roughly what I want. Yes. I don't need the lightest, most cutting edge, whatever amazing carbon fiber. I just want something that is reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. It's like me given the choice. Do I want a dog that's just a dog that does dog things, or do I want like some show dog that I have to like get special haircuts and get special food for and stuff? Like, fuck that. It's a damn dog.
Yeah. I will say my first terrier was from a, like I inherited him as my coworkers got divorced, but he was like a pedigreed dog, you know? And was probably not very few American dollars. And he was a really, really like mild mannered, well behaved dog. So unless he was drinking your coffee. But yeah, I just looked up the Athos Comp 105 DI2 12 speed and aluminum wheels. It's on sale for like $3,800. I mean, come on. Like, you don't need more than that. Like,
yeah, be fine. Pretty cool. But I think we talked about it on a few previous shows. I think there's definitely going to be a comeback of everything that you need, but nothing more.
All right. Don't disagree. Well, do you want to call it? You want to call this a show?
We can call it a show. It's a little short.
Yeah, a little bit, but I'll read patrons in when I'm doing the editing. But I mean, I don't know. We missed all of Andrea's banter and Andrea's stuff. So yeah, it's going to be a little bit short. Don't know how else to put it. Next week will probably be better, or it won't be. I don't know. It's it'll be what it is. So there you go. Kenny, you know the famous words.
Shut her down.
Shut her down. Thanks for listening. Bye.
If you want us to read whatever unhinged name you want to make your patron name, join us for $10 a month or more. At $10 a month, we've got Zozo, Willie Nailher, Tom, Ty Lover, Ty, Tennessee Zach, Taperboard Pro, Samuel, Ryan, Ride Time Extended, Dick Cheese, Noah, My Pal Dal, My Dixie Wrecked, MTV Shenanigans,
Mike Jones,
Leland, Kenny's Burning Standing Urine STD Fund, Kenny Sucks, Josh, Josephine Familiar, Jeff, JC, Jared, Hello Motherfucker, Hey How You Doing, Green Giant, Gordon, Gene Simmons of Kiss, Fuck Bike Rumors Shitty Website, Frank the Tank, Eric, Chris Cocalis, Cam Irish One, Billy Singlespeed, Bill, Bearded Josh, Barrel of Dicks, Baggins, Arya, Gonna Eat That, AJ, Aaron, underscore.
At 11:11, we've got Gay Butt Sex.
At 14 Australian, we've got Petamelon Disco and Lead Out Sports. 14:20, shout out to Colorado Mountain Bike Association. And Dean at 16:50 Australian. And at $20 a month, we have Scott Pooprinch, My Neck, My Back, Lick My Pussy, and My Crack. Joe, Harley at 30, Troy at 31, and Six Pack Outdoors, Drop Bars on Mountain Bikes is a Sin at 50.
Thanks for tuning in to the Just Riding Along show.
There's some shit coming out of your brake pads.